Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. How's everyone going? Good? That sounds not too convincing. How is everyone? Yes. You don't have to pretend that things are, if the things are bad, just say bad, you know. But look, I just want to bring some encouragement, and I'm glad that you all came this morning, this morning still. And I want to bring over the next possibly 25 minutes, 20 to 25 minutes, just some encouragement that you can take away and be blessed and be freed so that you can live your best life without any hindrances. We know that if you want to drink wine, you have to take the cork out of the bottle. Take the cork off so that you can enjoy the contents. Now, sometimes in our lives is that we have things that block us to fully enjoy. So maybe let me pick something else. Maybe young kids don't understand the cork in the wine bottle. There's not much other options there, is there? But what I'm trying to say is there can be blockages in your life, things that hold you back from living free. Now, what actually happens is that because of offense, people come into your lives because we interact with our parents, we interact with our friends, and we can easily get offended. Sometimes when we are offended or we are injured by things that have happened to us, if we don't deal with those things, we will not really be free to move on with our lives and actually be free to be the person that God wants us to be, because there's something that is stopping us from fully experiencing freedom in our lives. One thing I want to say to all of us is that you have to position yourself for success. I heard this spoken by Ray Popham yesterday, and he said, stay close to the fire. And the reason he said that is that it is easier to stir a fire than to start a fire. The reality of our lives is that fires go out. So it's so much easier for you to stir the fire so that the fire continues to what? To burn. Now, if we don't stay close, what happens? It goes out. And it becomes an even bigger task to try and get things moving. Stay close to the fire. Stay close to the Lord. Yes, you know, the what may seem to be very attractive out there, I'll tell you this, it is attractive. It does shine. It does beautiful colors. But what you find is that it is fool's gold, because what it promises is not what it delivers. So we have to stay close to the fire in our lives. We are starting a new series called Building Healthy Relationships. Who knows, we all want to have healthy relationships. Healthy relationships? It's not always easy to have healthy relationships. If we are going to have healthy relationships with other people, with those that are around us, with those in our families, it actually starts with you having a healthy relationship with yourself. Because if there are issues in your life that you are not addressing, you're going to bring that out in your interaction with other people. And you will wonder, why is it that people don't get along with me? Or why do I find it very difficult to open up to people? That would be because there are certain things, there are certain injuries that have occurred in our lives that stop us from actually expressing and enjoying the healthy relationships with those that are around us. Because we interact with people at school, at the shops, when we're driving. You know, it has been said by somebody that I could live this Christian life with no problem if it were not for people. So if there was nobody else around, my life would be absolutely fine. Someone said that, I know why possibly a lot of people here have got pets. It says, The more I get to know the human race and people, the more I love my dog. Now I know why a lot of people have pets. Eh? Because they're just like, oh my goodness, the pets just love you back. Unconditionally, they just love you, your dog, your whatever it is. So I appreciate those that keep animals. But you know, people as great and wonderful as they are, they can be quite difficult to get along with. It's who's it? Like if you've ever been in, let's just say in an office or a school or in any environment where people are just not vibing with one another, things are just not working, it's not a very nice place to be. When always people are angry, people are backbiting, it just doesn't feel like the environment you want to be a part of. 2 weeks ago, we spoke on Romans 12, verse 1 to 3, where Paul was saying, therefore, my brethren, in light of the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him. And then he says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What Paul was saying to us is that he was trying to tell us that the first thing in relationships is that it's the most important thing is our relationship with God. If you want to be at peace with everybody, at first we have to be at peace with God. Peace comes when you respond to the mercies of God in your life. Verses 3 to 6, Paul, and I'm just talking about what Paul is trying to do in Romans chapter 12. He then goes on to talk about the body and the different gifts that are in the church. He refers to the church as a body and talks about our relationship with other believers. We are all different, but we are one in Christ. Ears hear, eyes see, and feet walk, yet they are one body. And he's saying that the body has to work in harmony with itself. Now imagine if all of a sudden you say to your hand, I need you to pick up the cup, and the hand says, I am not going to do that today. And you want to go somewhere and you say, you know, we need to go to the shops, and your leg says, nah, we ain't going nowhere today. You're not going to go away. You're not going to go anywhere. You're not going to be able to do stuff. We have to understand that we are different. You and I have been created differently. So we have to appreciate one another's differences. It's the same thing in families where, you know, you look at, it could be a child, and you think, oh my goodness, there's something wrong with this child. Or it could be a spouse. There could be something wrong with my spouse. But it's not that there's something wrong with them. They are just different. And what we have to get good at doing is appreciating one another's differences. Because when we do that, we are creating harmony in our lives. But if we constantly are pinpointing the different things about the other people in our families, it doesn't become a good family to be a part of. What we need to be doing is appreciating one another, appreciating our differences, and creating harmony in our families. Verse 14 to 21, Paul says, bless those who persecute you. Because now he's talking about our relationship with non-believers and most importantly with our enemies. Who loves their enemies? Very difficult one to do. Eh? Don't look to the person next to you. They might be your enemy. Don't look. But he's teaching us here that there is something different about the way we conduct ourselves. And he says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. Instead, associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. That's a hard one. There are times where I think, you know, evil is warranted and justified. An equal amount of evil to somebody who's committed evil to you can sometimes feel like a good thing. It feels good. Oh, yes, I got him. so that they can feel what I felt. And then he goes on to say that give careful thought to what is honorable in everyone's eyes. And this is the nice one here. Verse 18 says, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Proverbs 19 says, verse 11, a person's insight gives him patience, and his virtue is to overlook an offense. When we have discretion in our lives, it makes us slow to anger. A person at war with themselves will be at war with everyone around them. If there's no peace on the inside, why would you expect there to be peace on the outside? Because the outside is going to actually reflect what's going on the inside of you. So that means that we are going to be dealing with people, we're interacting with them, and they will say stuff that we don't like. Sure, they offended us, but we need to overlook it. And it's a very simple thing. It's a decision. Sometimes the best decisions we can make for ourselves, is to forgive those people that have offended us, the people that have hurt us, the people that have done stuff to us, not because they deserve it. No, because what they've done to you is real. It has caused you lots of hurt. It has robbed you of so many things in your life. But you're not forgiving them because of them. You're forgiving them for you. So that the impact of what they had done, you let go of that. So you can live free. That's very important for us. Sometimes, who's ever owed money to anybody? Yeah, you owe money to people. I remember many years ago, some people owed me money. And I kept calling them. You know, what's up? Can I have my money back? You know, like, what's going on? Now, I had to do the chasing to get my money. And that really annoyed me. And after a while, you're calling them and you say, you know, when you called me, when you wanted this money, it was a desperate situation. And I told you that, you know what? I'm happy to lend you the money, but please, I need it back. And you said, yes, I will gladly give it to you back. 6 months go by. 8 months go by. 12 months. A year. 18 months. 2 years. Until one day I said, you know what? And I sent out a text to say, I'm canceling all debts. Not because I didn't want the money back, but because of the peace, the instability, and the lack of peace it was causing me. I just said, you know what? All debts are canceled. Now, they received it with such gladness, you know. But it wasn't for them that I was doing it. Now, they thought that, oh, this guy is so generous. No. They don't realize that I was doing it for myself, for my own peace. Because when you find peace, you have to do what is within your power to keep it. This is why we are greatly encouraged in the Bible not be careful that you are not offended by somebody. And the one thing that is your responsibility and your responsibility alone is to ensure that you are dealing with offense and you're dealing with it quickly, because of the impact and the harm that it will cause to your life. Now, if you're a young person, you know that your parents, you know, can sometimes, you know, they don't do what you want them to do, and that can annoy you. And you get offended. You start thinking, oh, what kind of parents are these? They didn't buy me this, they didn't buy me that. But all my friends have that stuff. And even as adults, we have issues with our parents. They didn't do this for me. You know, they didn't do that for me. And that causes offense. That causes hurt. But if all those things are not let go, they then become obstacles for us to experience good relationships. Excuse me. This is why it's important that when offense comes, and it will come, do your best to forgive quickly and move on. You cannot control what happens to you. Bad things could have happened to you. You can't control that. Nasty things. But you can control how you respond to those things that have happened to you. It takes two people to fight and two people to reconcile. But it only takes one person to forgive and only one to live in peace. And I know it's a silly example that I gave of me, you know, just a blanket debt cancellation. I had to do it for my own sanity, for my own health. And sometimes God is going to be calling you and I to do just that, not for the other person, but for yourself, to let go. Because what happens is that we continuously are dragging a ball and chain as we're going along. And God, that's not the life that God wants for you. That's not the life that He wants for you. Oh, electricity might be going. Let me be quick. And what I like what Paul says, he says, if it is possible, and as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everybody. So the phrase acknowledges that achieving peace with everyone may not always be within our control. There are situations and individuals who may not be receptive to our efforts for peace, but it's something that we should try and strive for whenever possible. As far as it depends on you, tells me that there's a responsibility on us to do our part in pursuing peace. Now here I'm not saying that if you're in an abusive kind of relationship that, you know, you got to go and seek peace with the... No, come on. I'm not suggesting that. There are some people that's never going to happen. But you have to then deal... First of all, take yourself out of that kind of situation if you can, most importantly. And then deal with the hurt and move on for yourself. Because remember, there are limits to this. There are just some things that, you know, can never reconcile. I mean, that's just a fact. If somebody's done weird and crazy stuff, there can be no reconciliation there. But there is a freedom that comes where you let go. This is why heaven is going to be very difficult for some of us. When we get there and I see that prefect at school who slapped me for no reason, and I'm going to say, how did he get in? You know, how did he get in? This is why God is just crazy, in that people that have done the worst things can stand in heaven. And everybody's going to say, what? What is he or what is she doing in here? After all that she did, it's going to be hard to reconcile that the person that has hurt you is standing there having received the forgiveness of the Lord. That's hard. That's hard for us. Only God, I guess, can deal with that. But we'll be in heaven then anyway, so it's not going to be a big deal for us. But I understand that sometimes letting go of hurt, because we always can feel that the other person does not deserve freedom in their lives because of what they have done. If there's anything you take away from this, is that no, you're not doing it for them. You're doing it for yourself. And this is where the word of God can become very difficult for us. Because remember, it talks about forgive us our sins, and then it doesn't say anything else. But it says, as we forgive those who trespass against us. So He will forgive us as we forgive those who have done us wrong. Now, those are all challenging concepts in our minds to have to deal with. But this is why you say, Lord, help me to forgive so-and-so. They hurt me real bad. I didn't like it. But you know what, Lord? Because of your mercy for me, I let go. I forgive. We're not talking about deserving here. I forgive because you have forgiven me. Because none of us deserved the mercy of God, but he gave it to us. So in like manner, because of the pattern that Jesus showed us, we have to do likewise. I can tell this morning that it's not quite easy. There are barriers for us to have healthy relationships. If we are looking to build healthy relationships, there are issues that can hinder that. Those issues are unresolved past issues. They will come and affect your relationships today. You think, oh, thank goodness I let go of that woman. Woo! My ex is gone. Great. Now, if you don't deal with the issues with that ex, whatever the issues were, you're going to bring them into this new relationship. It leads us to have defensive behaviors. We overreact and we have difficulty trusting other people. When we have unrealistic expectations, we get into a relationship with these unrealistic expectations that, you know, when I get married, wow, I'm going to do this and that and it's all going to be great. And my husband or my wife is going to fulfill all my desires. Lo and behold, you recognize that's not the case. And you're like, oh, no, I shouldn't have got married. Because sometimes when we expect other people to fulfill our needs or to behave perfectly all the time, we're going to be very disappointed. I actually don't think that it is not, if you're in a relationship, it is not your spouse's responsibility to make you happy. That's a personal responsibility. Because when you bestow that to somebody to say, Mel, you are responsible for my happiness, oh, then I'm always going to be disappointed because now I've given control to somebody else. I control my happiness. And if I'm not happy within myself, if I'm not at peace with myself, then God help us. In the relationship, I just bring what I am. So this is why it is an individual responsibility for you to deal with your own issues in your life so you can bring a healed you to your relationship. Because if you don't do that, you are bringing an unhealed you with all these issues, and you're just going to cause frustrations in that relationship that you're in. Now, you might say, well, I'm not married. I don't need to deal with this. But guess what? You're going to have the same issues with your friends. You expect your friends to make you happy. Oh, little Johnny. Johnny, it's your responsibility. You're my friend. You were not there when I needed you. Now, you know, we don't want to be needy people. We want to be healthy individuals that we don't place these unrealistic expectations on our friends. We have to understand that no one is perfect and everybody has their own strengths and limitations. Another hindrance to a good relationship is poor communication. Failure to communicate can lead to conflict and resentment. I recall one day I called my mother-in-law and I said, can you please turn on the oven? I thought in my mind, I said, and make sure you put the pork in the oven. So I thought I said that. And so when I got home, the oven is definitely on. So I got home with the expectation and I said, where is the pork? And she said, you never said. Now I thought I said that. That's poor communication. To this day, I'm convinced I said to her, I'm convinced I said to her, put the pork in the oven. So you can't assume. So I just, in my mind, I'm saying, if I only said, turn on the oven, you should have then said, okay, why do you want it turned on? Another key thing is neglecting self-care. If you don't take care of your own needs, you may become resentful, stressed, or burnt out, which can affect your relationships. Check your motivations for doing things. You got to check, why are you doing things? Are you doing things because you want a pat on the back? There's nothing wrong with wanting to do things. But if your motivation is not pure, what happens is that if nobody thanks you, you're going to be mighty offended. I come here all the time and I do all this and that and nobody ever says thank you very much. Well, the reality is that if you were doing it genuinely, you wouldn't care that nobody thanks you. And we need to take heed from the airlines. When you're flying, they say, put your own mask on first before you take care, before you put the mask on somebody else. Otherwise, you're not in a position to be able to do that. Our relationship barriers are caused, can be, as a result of a lack of inner healing, unresolved emotional wounds or traumas can affect how we relate to others. And these are a few ways it can impact your relationships. You get emotional triggers. Shut up! Sorry. But that's my point. All of a sudden, for some people, I can say that doesn't mean a thing. But for somebody, all of a sudden, it triggers something. And what then happens, you see, is that your reaction is disproportionate to whatever the thing I've tried to do. So you react. So all of a sudden, you overreact, and then you get tense, and you've got sweaty palms. It could be an emotional trigger, suggesting that there is something there, a wound, that needs to be addressed so you can move on. If you have unresolved trust issues or emotional wounds, it can be challenging to fully trust and to form deep connections with others. This will create barriers to intimacy and vulnerability. The communication one, I guess, and processed emotions leads to ineffective communication patterns, such as defensiveness. Ah, Donovan. You know, I really don't like the way you do this. What? And so you're being defensive. Rather than responding to what somebody is saying, all of a sudden a wall comes up. Because you know what happens when the wall comes up? It is just your body telling you that you're trying to protect yourself. So the reason why you're defensive is because all it is just you're trying to protect yourself. Or you might withdraw or have passive-aggressive behavior. And sometimes we project things, our emotions or experiences onto other people. Because my previous wife did this to me, then I say my current wife, I project that, you're just going to be like so-and-so who left me. And you're like, well, hold on. I didn't say I was going anywhere. And I don't have an ex-wife, by the way. It's just an example. My point is this, though, that we project what happened to us on other people. That tells us there needs to be some healing taking place in our lives. And so what are the steps, what do we need to do? And I'll give you a real life example how difficult this is, that dealing with emotional and wounds from the past really affects our current relationships and the way that we're doing things. And sometimes what I want to say to you and to free you is that We don't want to be those super spiritual Christians. You know, we are praying all the time, which prayer is good. But sometimes if you've got wounds in your life and the people around you are saying, how are the people around you reacting? If they're reacting a certain way, I would say that maybe you need to go speak to somebody. You need to go speak to somebody and get the help you need. Sometimes people can make our lives difficult, but we need to have freedom. Freedom in our lives, it is your personal responsibility. The word freedom would imply that it's free. It's actually, you got to work for it. You got to want it in your life. You got to want peace in your life. And if you're going to have it, it might mean that, yes, you're going to have to go and do something. You're going to have to go speak to somebody so that you can become free and you can live your best life, because you cannot do that. You cannot do that if you're holding on to issues of the past. You will have your relationships, but there will be suboptimal relationships. It will not be the best. So in speaking to my own therapist, and I was telling him, you know, there's some people I have some issues with. And so one of the key things we need to do is that if we're going to apply what this says in our lives, what this scripture is saying, we need to examine our own heart and attitudes. We have to strive to cultivate a spirit of peace, humility, and forgiveness within yourself. Recognize that healing is not a one-time thing. It's a journey. It is a journey that you are actually on, that you are going to have to do more and more and more work, because you have a conversation with somebody that you think, oh, I've dealt with this. You've gone through this door. But then you realize that there's some other doors that need to be opened. It's something that is a worthwhile experience for you to do. I would encourage anybody to do. And I recall having this conversation with this therapist, and I'm like, this is for the first time where I'm able to express that what that person did to me, that I did not like it. I did not like what they did to me. But I was able to verbally express. Before, you know, you just, you know, I don't like what they did. But this time I put an emotion to it. I'm ticked off at what they did to me, because they were trying to destroy me. And he said something that was very profound. And he says, sometimes we have to hand people over to the Lord and say, Lord, in fact, he said, what if God is asking you to do something with that person? I'm like, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. He says, what if God wants you to go and say something or do something for that person? I'm saying, nope, I don't feel like doing it. But then I said, out of deference for the Lord, I will do it. Not because that other person deserves it. I personally don't want to do it. But if God wants me to do it and say, Steve, I want you to go, and whatever it might, the case might be, I said, because I love the Lord, then I will do it. And I'm trying to say to us that healing is going to start with a willingness on our part to forgive. Just as the Lord has forgiven us, we need to be able to forgive those people that have hurt us, those people that have offended us, not because they deserve it, but because we deserve it. We deserve to live in peace. We deserve to live in harmony within ourselves. And this is a prayer. I'll just get the team to come back up. If we can just have the guitar, please. And I remember writing this down. And I said, remember the scripture says, love God with all your heart, mind, and strength. And then it says, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I wrote this down to say, love other people the way I love you. So this is like God saying to me, I want you to love other people the way I love you. And so I guess a prayer is this. Sometimes we have to individually hand people over to God, people that have wronged us, and say, Lord, I'm in a relationship, or there was these things that happened to me in my life with this person. They drove me crazy. They did such and such to me. Guess what, Lord? I want to turn them over to you with a blessing that you would bless them. I want to love like you love. And I want to release them to the best place I know, and that's into your arms. I want to love them better, so I want to release them to you. Because what we do is that when we do that, the emotional scars and wounds in our life are released, or the scab is taken off, but it allows healing to actually take place in our lives. That we can begin to experience freedom like we never thought we would experience freedom. And I'm not suggesting that the things that people have done to us, crazy, weird, horrible. But it's time that we let go of those things and free ourselves from the prison that other people intention for us to go in. Or they may not have intentioned it, but we found ourselves in a prison because not of our own doing. We might need to set some healthy boundaries. There are some people that you'd have to love from afar. And that's okay. I'll love you 10,000 kilometers away. Because boundaries protect our emotional well-being and ensure that we are not enabling or participating in harmful behavior. So we have to recognize for ourselves when it's best time to distance ourselves from toxic or abusive relationships. I just think that, you know, I started off saying that what this man said, I was in Sydney yesterday, when this guy said this, stay close to the fire. As you stay close to the fire, stay close to the Lord, he will help you deal with your issues. As you pray to him for guidance and seek his wisdom, as we lean on his strength to navigate, we pray for his peace to fill our hearts and for his love to flow through you. Then we can experience love. And then we can say, when we get to heaven, oh, so-and-so, you remember you slapped me? I ain't mad at you. I'm glad you're here. Now, that's just a smack. And this guy did smack me for no apparent reason. And I'm a bit salty. You know, why did he do that? And I will meet him. I remember talking on our men's group, not men, as in our old boy group, I remember putting that down to say, that guy, he did some, you know, I don't know why he smacked me. And one guy says, you wouldn't believe he's such a nice man now. He wasn't then. Freedom is here. Matthew 11, 28, 30 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. God wants you to have rest in your life where you don't have stress. You're not just, you're fighting beasts on the inside, but that you're really free because you get to experience God's love. So we are encouraged here to release our fears, uncertainties, anxieties to him, believing that Christ will provide comfort, peace, and guidance. It doesn't mean all our problems will instantly disappear, but we are surrendering control. Because remember, as long as you don't forgive, you're not going to experience forgiveness the way that you need to in your life. A story was told, if we can all stand this morning, a story was told of a guy who wanted to trap some monkeys. And how you trap them is that you give them sugar, you know, the sugar cubes. And what they did is that they put the sugar in a gourd, big cylindrical thing with a hole in it. And so it obviously put its hand in and grabbed a hold of the sugar. And then all of a sudden, the people that were trying to trap it were coming. But because it didn't want to let go of the sugar, its hand could not come out of the gourd in time. All it had to do to be able to escape was to let go of that sugar, and so that it would what? Take its hands out and run away. At times, we can be like that monkey, that we just have issues that we're holding onto. And we cannot experience true freedom until we surrender to God's control and to trust in His plan and providence for our lives. Let's pray this morning.